I've only given myself 5 minutes, so we've got three topics, practical topics, for the main speakers and for the workshops. One is cooperatives, one is positive money or real money, and the other is local green job creating initiatives. And running across all of those are certain underlying themes. One which John Stewart will be dealing with straight after me is obviously the jobs angle. Everything has a job implication, for good or bad. Another one is that it's one thing to have a good idea and make it work on a small scale, but if we really are going to have an economy for the 99%, then we've got to be able to scale it up. And I hope that that's one of the things that you'll have in mind in the discussion groups, as to how are we actually going to make this normal instead of a nice idea in a different system. We need an alternative system, not just little niches in the one that we've got. And the two that I want to deal with briefly are the underlying global dimension of all of this. Everything that we do has a global impact. And secondly, almost impossible to separate, is the issue of equality, which underlies everything that we need in an economy for the 99%. So I'd like to begin by introducing you to a typical person in the 99% globally. This is Jane. this is Jane Kirambia. She's in Kenya. And she is typical of people in most of the world, in that she is a small-scale farmer. She is the farmer because most food is produced by women in the developing world. She doesn't use artificial fertilizers or pesticides, and everything is on the scale of the family and the local economy. And I'd like to quote you something from an article by Patrick Mulvaney of Practical Action, which is the old ITDG, Intermediate Technology Development Group, and you can see why they changed the name. This campaign's, it drew its ideas from Schumacher, Small is Beautiful, and it goes around the world putting this into practice in terms of appropriate technology rather than industrial farming. And he says, and I didn't realise it until I read, most food in the world, more than 70%, is grown, harvested and consumed locally without chemical fertilisers and pesticides. That's more than 70% of all the food in the world. It is usually provided by women who are small-scale producers, farmers, livestock keepers, fisher people, urban gardeners and others. These inventive and skillful people know how to produce good, healthy food for their families, communities and local markets. They already know what to do. Now, the other thing that I want to say about that is, just one of the points about that this is a global issue. The issue of small-scale farming, there is a 99% issue there. For instance, there is an excellent campaign group for small farmers around the world called, you may have heard of it, Via Campesina. And it basically is an international network of small producers trying to hold their own against big international corporations trying to drive them off the land for so-called more efficient farming on an industrial scale. You might think that it was a developing world organisation. Via Campesina is Italian for the peasant's way. It started in Italy. And there is a group in the UK called the Family and Small Farmers Network or something like that, which is a part of that. So it is, we are part of the 99% now in so many different ways. The other image that I'd like to show you, if I can get this right. Oh, sorry, you're going to do it.
Yeah, that's it.
To my great delight, this came out about 3 days ago, just as I was sort of wanting to find. I had an old version of this. This is the WWF, the World Wide Fund for Nature. Every 2 years, they do what they call a Living Planet report. And the 2012 one has just come out about 3 days ago. And so this is the chart from there. They always do this chart every year. And I just want you to take in, it's, you won't get the detail from this, but just look at the shape of this thing and look at the lines, the green lines which I've added into this. This is the amount, all of this shows how much damage, how much you take out of the planet and how much pollution and waste you expect it to absorb against its capacity. And this is its capacity. If we stay below this line, then we are living sustainably in the world. Here's the UK. 1, 2.5 planets. If everybody lived as we do in the world, we would need 2.5 planets to keep going. And if you think about it, we are ecological subsidy junkies in all of the industrialised north. We are totally dependent on the rest of the world carrying the surplus of our demand and our pollution of the world and disposal of waste. It's not that good though. This line that was part of the original chart is the average, the global average. 1.5 planets. The average at the moment, we're consuming the world's resources and we're dumping stuff on it at 1.5 times faster than it can cope. And the reason we're getting away with it is because we didn't do this until about 200 years ago. So we've had about 4 million years of it building up and creating a resource for us, which we're now eating away into the capital. But we can't keep going. And so those two, I'd just like you to keep those two images in your mind. I'd always like to suggest that you invite Jane to have a chair in your discussion group to listen to what you say, and she will be listening to see if you actually do think about the global impacts of what you want to do and whether you are sort of wondering what she would like to say. And the point from here, I think, is simply to say in conclusion, it is up to us in the global north. It's our job, and it's a serious job, and we need to get on with it. Thank you.
What's the name of the diagram?
It's called the ecological footprint per country, per person, and the data is from 2008.